Allison Knight shares this story. She says, while giving a challenging message in a Sunday school conference, where many Sunday school teachers were present, a well-known minister told the following story. He says, I was a boy from a broken home. I had a Roman Catholic background. I became a member of a Sunday school class in which there were 13 boys. Five of the boys were from broken homes. They knew little of love and kindness. And our teacher was a big man. He wore a size 14 shoe. There were no discipline problems in that class. We had respect for that large shoe. Our teacher had never gone beyond the sixth grade in school, but he knew the Lord and he loved the boys in his class. He gave me love that I had never known before. He played with me and with the other boys. All of the 13 boys became Christians. 11 of them entered into full-time Christian service. How great is the influence of the Christian teacher who knows the Lord and who loves the pupils in his or her class. Now, it's hard not to visualize this massive man in his size 14 foot who stood as tall as a tree in that Sunday school classroom every day. This gentle giant made a mark in the ministry that God had chosen for him. Now, speaking of trees, it's springtime. And by the way, I love spring. I think this has been a good spring. And it means that the flowers are appearing. It also means that the trees and the shrubs are blooming. And so I thought it would be appropriate to give you a Spring Sparks yard tree tour complete with pictures. Now, I will tell you this is not an exhaustive list, okay? We have more trees than this, but these are some of our favorites. So this is, and by the way, I took the photos, and I know I'm not a photographer. Bear with me. This is first a picture of our Japanese maple tree. I like that tree. All right, next up. This is, this is a picture of our flowering crabapple tree. That's good. This is my favorite, although I'm starting to get a little worried about this because it sounds like it could be a bad tree. This is my favorite, though. It is a picture of an aspen tree. And then lastly, I think this might be Cam's favorite. This is a picture, we just planted this, of a magnolia tree. And then let me do this. This, folks, hang on here. Uh-huh, I know what I'm doing. All right, everybody smile. There you go. Let's get the middle section. I want this section. And folks, this is what's called a picture of church ministry. There you go. Okay, got it. All right. Nice, you guys look great. There you go. That's what ministry looks like, folks. And you are ministry. That's right. And I'm going to get more pictures if I need more pictures. Here's what we know. I didn't take a selfie. I didn't do it. There is no selfie. Because in ministry, we are all part of this. We all have a ministry. If you look in your bulletin, you'll say, he doesn't know how to spell the word ministry. I do. It is not a typo. Rather, it is a play on words. Our ministry, the ministry that God has chosen for us, in many ways takes on the characteristics of a tree. For example, Jesus says in John 15, 1 through 8, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He lops off every branch that doesn't produce, and he prunes those branches that bear fruit for even larger crops. He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by means of the commands I gave you. Take care to live in me, and let me live in you. For a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him shall produce a large crop of fruit. For apart from me, you can't do a thing. If anyone separates from me, he is thrown away like a useless branch, withers, and is gathered into a pile with all the others and burned. But if you stay in me and obey my commands, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce bountiful harvests. This brings great glory to my Father. So here's what we can establish based on these verses. Jesus is the vine. He is also, based on Revelation 22:16, he is also known as David's root. Now, we would be remiss not to mention Acts 5, verse 30, where we find Peter saying this about Jesus to the Jewish council. He says, the God of our Father raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. That tree that Jesus hanged on, the cross, was not only the apparatus that brings believing man salvation through Jesus, but that so-called tree was the next necessary means to unveil Christ's church and unleash our ministry. The root, the trunk, the leader, the Savior is Jesus, and we are his branches. And that should come, and from that should come a lot more branches that are pruned by God, which means that we are corrected, reproved, and shaped by God so that we may provide more and better fruit for our fellow man in the name of God. Let me give you an example. I have become a tree guy. I knew nothing about them. I know just a little more than nothing now. But here's the thing I will tell you. We had an issue. We had a bunch of pear trees in our yard. And if you don't know, pear trees got hit with something called fire blight. Every one of my pear trees burned up. 9 trees, massive in size, all had to be cut down. So we called this tree expert. And he comes out and he looks at the trees like, yeah, you're going to lose them all. I said, really? And he said, yeah, we're taking them all out. And he said, by the way, since I'm here, let me look at your other trees. And so I was a little apprehensive about this. I mean, these are my trees, right? And so he looks at him and says, this one needs fixed, this one needs pruned, this one needs cut, this one needs pruned. And I'm looking, I'm like, I don't think I want you to do this. And he says, trust me, you got to trust me on this. I know trees, and if I prune them, it will make them fuller, it will make them stronger, it will make them better. Now, I watched him do this, and when he got done, my trees looked skeletal. I mean, there was like nothing left. I looked, I'm like, well, where'd my tree go? And he said, trust me, in 30 years, you'll thank me for this. Now, it's not been 30 years, I'm still not thanking him for this. But I know this. I know that the guy is an expert because he said so. And he didn't even post it on the internet, so that's good. So this is what we know. We know that we need pruned. As long as our branches are connected to Christ and pruned by God, God's ministry will grow and branch out and reach out and faithfully and fruitfully feed the eternal needs of others. Isn't ministry about others? I mean, when you look at why you're here on this earth, and if I take a picture of all of you and I say, guess what? You're all ministry. I mean, this is it. You all have a ministry. When you say this, you wouldn't say then that ministry is not about me, but my ministry is all about my Heavenly Father and loving and serving others. See, that Sunday school teacher that we talked about earlier allowed himself, even with his limited education, to be used and guided and corrected by God to produce 13 branches that presumably provided a lot of people with a lot of spiritual fruit. In essence, his ministry grew. Is ours? Is our ministry growing? Are we ministers? Now, I know many people would say, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, I know the whole minister thing. He's up there. And I can tell you, no. He's not only up here. We're all in here, and we're all in this together. We are all ministers. I'm going to look at our sermon text today. This is one of those illustrations you've heard about, you might have read before. Hopefully you have, but let's just go through this. It's a brief passage, but it is the illustration that Jesus shares of the mustard seed. So let's hear what this says. Here is another of his illustrations. The kingdom of heaven is like a tiny mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but becomes the largest of plants and grows into a tree where birds can come and find shelter. Now, I'm going to wow you with some scientific knowledge. You're going to be shocked when I tell you this. I warn you, this is good. Every tree starts with a seed. I know. I was paying attention in science. You didn't think I was. Every tree starts with a seed. That's important. Why is this important to know? Because Jesus gives us a parable of the seed and the sower that is found in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 15. So if you want to read that on your own time, I recommend that you do that in time. But I want to share two specific verses that stand out about that parable. One is verse 11, because in that parable we see that the seed is God's message to man. We also see in that parable that the soil represents God's people. And so when God's message, the seed, is given to God's people, the soil, good things happen. Jesus says it just spreads. Now this is good, because that message must spread. Regarding this gospel passage, William Barclay once said this. He says, we often feel that for all we can do, it's hardly worthwhile starting anything at all. We must remember this. Everything must have a beginning. Nothing emerges full grown. Barclay says it's our duty to do what we can. And the cumulative effect of all the small efforts can, in the end, produce an amazing result. This parable speaks of the empire of the church. The tree and the birds we have seen stand for the great empire for all the nations who will find shelter within it. The church began with an individual and is meant to end with the world, end quote. Now, we probably should talk about ministry. What is ministry? I mean, we understand that there's a tree reference here, but what about the definition and the true reference of it? Well, the Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible calls it a distinctive biblical idea that means to serve or to be a servant. It goes on to say, get ready, that all believers are ministers. Now, regarding this, Paul said in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, he says, Jesus gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying, which is instruction or improvement in religious knowledge and morality of the body of Christ. Our ministries grow Christ's body, which is the church. This church started out as a very, very, very small church with a lot of physical problems. Today, this church is not what it once was. If it was only a seed, today we have a lot of fruit. And today that fruit comes because all of you are convicted and concerned to go out and build God's ministry. You look at this, you might even pray for this, and you say, what can I do for you, God? And God says, build this. And what have you done? You've spread this. You've talked about this, and we've seen it grow. We are grateful for this. When I was growing up, my mom had a growth chart. Every boy loves a growth chart. And mine was I think, a Winnie the Pooh, I think. And I used to love it. In fact, I think I probably still use it through high school. But I loved when I could grow every 2 to 3 inches. Man, I really wanted to be 6 foot. Fortunately, I grew to be 6'8", so I'm grateful for that. But I always said, I got to get to 6 foot. And so I would always go in there and check it out to make sure that I was getting there, that I was growing. God wants us to be growing. He wants our ministry to be growing. Dr. H.H. Carpenter says this about that. He says, the church should not begin as an undifferentiated mass of believers and then produce its own ministry for itself. It grew as a body around the apostles whose position was determined by the act of the historical Christ. He goes on to say this. He says, they then sent other ministers to carry forward their work and similarly to teach with authority in the name of Christ. This view makes the ministry of the apostles an original constituent, an essential element in the life of the church by the direct institution of our Lord, and leads on to the view that their supreme ministry was intended to be handed on to others so as to endure permanently in the church as the only supreme ministry and the only source of lesser ministries. In Paul's address to King Agrippa, we read about this in Acts 26, 15, and 16. Paul tells Agrippa what Jesus told Paul when he visited him on that road to Damascus. And he says this. He says, this is what Paul is saying. He says, rise. This is what Jesus said to Paul. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. He goes on. And a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. Here's what we know. Paul's a minister. And Jesus made sure that this crazy guy Paul was going to know that he had a ministry. Paul was also a proud, one-time Christ-bashing, Christian-persecuting, witness-to-murdering sinner. And he was good at it. And we look at this and we say this, if Paul can have a ministry, if this crazy nut can have a ministry, so can we. And so must we. And it will be powerful. And it will be fruitful. And it will be productive to bring people to our Savior. Colossians 1:29, Paul said, this is my work. And I can only do it because Christ's mighty energy is at work within me. Paul was the branch that was firmly affixed to Jesus' root and vine and tree. Paul's ministry branched out. It reached out. And it loved and it served and it saved others and it cared about others. How many people today have heard of this term coaching tree? If you're a sports fan, you know what I'm talking about. You're gonna appreciate this. We have coaching trees. You'll see it in pro football, you'll see it in college football, but you'll especially see it in college basketball. So today, I'm going to give you an example of a coaching tree. Here's an example. Many years ago, there was a guy at the University of North Carolina by the name of Dean Smith. Many would consider him the top 20 college basketball coaches of all time. When Dean Smith was coaching at the University of North Carolina, he had an assistant coach that sat on his bench by the name of Larry Brown. Larry Brown, because Dean Smith was winning, Larry Brown got a job and he got into coaching. Larry Brown was offered a job and he became the head coach of the University of Kansas. Because Larry Brown was winning, he had an assistant coach on his bench by the name of Bill Self. Bill Self was offered a job at the University of Oral Roberts University, then the University of Tulsa, and ultimately at our beloved Orange and Blue, the University of Illinois. Bill Self, while he was coaching in Illinois, was winning, which means that people were watching. And so Bill Self had a guy on his bench by the name of Norm Roberts. Norm Roberts was offered an opportunity to be the head coach of the University of St. John's. The reason I bring this up is it all started with this guy named Dean Smith. Because of Dean Smith's success, Larry Brown, Bill Self, and Norm Roberts fed off of that success, and Dean Smith's coaching tree continued to grow and spread. Why do I bring it up? Because Paul had a similar ministry. You see, this concept applies to the Apostle Paul's ministry. Now, let's just get real technical here. God begat Jesus. I mean, we understand that. And then Jesus called Paul. We read about that earlier. We'll see that in Acts 9:6 and then verses 17 and 18. And from Paul's ministry for Jesus came these ministers and servants. Guys like Timothy and Philemon and Titus and Silas and Onesimus and countless other Christians and ministers and servants. And here's what happened. These guys went out and they established God's ministry. And as we read earlier in our sermon text, the birds found shelter in that Savior. Why? Because these people were absolutely committed to the ministry that God had put before them. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 1 through 10, Paul and Silas and Timothy, specifically Paul, write a letter to the church of Thessalonica, of which he established in the letter, he commands this in his ministry. He says this, he says, then you church at Thessalonica, then you yourselves became an example to tell all the other Christians in Greece. And now the word of the Lord has spread out from you to others everywhere. Far beyond your own boundaries, wherever we go, we find people telling us about your remarkable faith in God. In essence, the Apostle Paul's ministry was branching out and spreading out and producing fruit. And so must ours. So what starts with and what is rooted in Jesus must branch out from us. So let me ask you, how big is your tree? How many branches? And how wide and how thick is your tree? How much fruit is coming from your tree? Now, let me just give you a quick example because, folks, let me tell you, that ministry starts in our home. Many people say, well, it should be in our home church. And I agree, it should be in our home church, but it starts in the home. How many Christians have we made? How many Christians have been saved in our homes? When you look around, can you look in your child's eyes and realize that that child came to Jesus Christ because you cared so much about that child that you said, I want to be with you, live with you forever in heaven because of that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then from there, once you look in your home, then you can look around and you can say, who can I bring to my church home? We were out shopping this week, and we were out at a store, and a guy came up and he said, I didn't remember the guy. I felt bad. And he said, hey, there's the pastor. Thinking, I know I've talked to this guy. I don't know who he is. And he said, how's the church? And I said, it's good. Don't know you, but it's good. I said, you ought to come out. Yeah, where's it at? He said, town you never heard of. Covell. Yeah, you're right, never heard of it. And I said, I know, it's not easy to find. I said, you ought to come. I said, I think you'd like it. And I said, I can assure you of this. You will actually love the people in it. They said, you know what, I may just do that. Spread out, invite, encourage, reach out, spread out God's message. This is what we do, folks. And when we reach out and we spread out, we will produce fruit. This is God's goal for our ministry. At Easter time, many years ago, several paintings of things which happened during the week of Jesus' crucifixion were displayed in an art gallery in London. Christ before Pilate was one of the paintings. People stood silently before the painting. A little girl was among that group. She could bear the silence no longer. She cried out, "Will no one come to help him?" Referring, of course, to Jesus in that meeting. That little girl that screamed those words was Evangeline Booth. When she grew to womanhood, she spent a long, busy life helping Jesus to help others. In time, she became commander-in-chief of the Salvation Army, which worldwide organization carries on the healing, saving ministry which Jesus began. It started with a little girl who cared so much about Jesus that she wanted to do something because of him. Are our branches growing more branches? Are they providing more and more fruit? Are our birds, are these birds finding shelter in their Savior? As believers and ministers, we are saved to serve. Jesus, the root and vine of our ministry, said in Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus understood what he was called to do. Jesus knew that he was on this earth to save and serve. And in the process, he loved a lot of people. And he brought these people the hope of something that was eternal. This is what Jesus did. Martin Luther once said this. He says, "A Christian man is the most free lord of all and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone." These Christian servants, armed with their gifts that are listed in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, they're teachers, they're preachers, they're administrators, they're caregivers, they're sympathizers, they're evangelists, they're overseers. In all of these passages, if you read these three passages, when you get to the end of these passages, here's what the Apostle Paul does. You will find, following these passages, in every instance, the word love. Love. You see, Paul understood that if we're going to use these gifts to serve, we better use these gifts to love. Robert Louis Stevenson once said this, "As long as we love, we serve." Our ministry and these gifts accomplish this. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible states, quote, "All believing Christians are responsible for loving and ministering in various ways to one another using the spiritual gifts distributed to each by the Holy Spirit," end quote. And when our ministry branches out, our fruit and others' fruit come out, which changes the lives of those who are without the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. In essence, there's a lot of people that will find shelter in their Savior. You see, you found out about this church. You just didn't walk in one day, I'm guessing, and some people have, but most people didn't. Most people came to this church because there was a branch that reached out to you, provided care for you, shelter for you, loved you, served you. And for whatever reason, you came into this church and you said, "You know what? I feel like that this is where I belong. This is where I can serve. This is where I can love. This is where I can give. This is where my ministry can expand." And praise God that you are here today. But there are a lot more people that need to be in this church and other churches today. People that are lost and searching and hurting and looking for something today. What is that something? It is that shelter. Our ministry, according to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, can produce this kind of fruit in us. So get ready, folks, if you say, "What is this fruit?" I can tell you that Paul gives us a really good indication of what this fruit is. He says, it is love. First and foremost, it is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is patience. It is kindness. It is goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. And it's self-control. This is the fruit that is produced by our ministry. And it is produced when we, Jesus branches, give the Holy Spirit control. Acts 2, 38 through 47 shows us that when the people believed and were saved and received the Holy Spirit, that fruit was produced and lives were saved and Jesus' ministry was growing. This typified the first church. What about our church? What are we known for? We grow our ministry, and we grow from the root. And that is absolutely non-negotiable. Jesus is that root. And so here's what happens. We grow bigger when we grow deeper. We grow bigger when we grow deeper. The deeper we get rooted in Jesus Christ, the more fruit we can produce and the more lives we can save. This is what we are called to do. Paul said in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built upon him and established in the faith, just as you were abounding in thanksgiving. Apostle Paul understood this ministry and the work that he and Apollos were asked to undertake. I want to read you a passage. It comes from 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. And I want to share this passage because it's interesting. These two guys, they understood their ministry. Listen to this. Here's what Paul says. He says, who am I and who is Apollos that we should be the cause of a quarrel? Why, we're just God's servants, each of us with certain special abilities. And with our help, you believed. My work was to plant the seed in your hearts. Apollos' work was to water it, but it was God, not we, who made the garden grow in your hearts. The person who does the planting or watering isn't very important, but God is important because he's the one who makes things grow. Apollos and I are working as a team with the same aim, though each of us will be rewarded for his own hard work. We are only God's co-workers. You are God's garden, not ours. You're God's building, not ours. Dr. Roy Matheson says this. He says, Paul came to Corinth and planted the seed. He's referring here to his ministry and preaching the word and establishing the church in Corinth. After Paul left, Apollos came and watered. Apollos taught them from the scriptures, and some of them made progress in their Christian lives. But in spite of these important and valuable functions, neither Paul nor Apollos could personally accomplish this miracle of birth and growth. That's something only God can do, and he should receive the credit for it. The Corinthians were giving credit to men for something only God can do. It's our responsibility, says Matheson today, to sow seed. The seed is the word of God, as Christ carefully explained in the parable of the sower. It is also our responsibility to be engaged in the watering process. God wants to use our lives to strengthen other believers, but we must never forget that it is only God who can produce the results. What are these results? More branches and more fruit. The branches extend, the fruit, our fruit ripens when Christians understand the importance of growing God's kingdom and willingly becoming his servants. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11, the more lowly your service to others, the greater you are. To be the greatest, be a servant. We are saved to serve, but are we really willing to do that? That's our ministry. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, two things stand out about this powerful verse. Number one, God plans and chooses our ministry. He picks us, he plants us, he prunes us, and he empowers us to branch out, produce fruit, and bring others to Jesus. Can you imagine that? If you think about that, he picked you. He said, you know what? I want you to do this. He says, I get to pick this because my name is Jesus. Secondly, he says this. He says, I'm going to plant you in Covell, Illinois. You ever think that would happen? Not I. How about this one? How about the fact that he prunes us, which means that he shapes us, he reproves us, he corrects us, so that we can become more powerful and stronger, and that we can bring more people to Jesus. And finally, he empowers us through the Holy Spirit to branch out and reach out and help others out. The second thing that stands out in this verse is our ability to be distracted from our ministry work. I call this ministry. Ministry. Ministry looks like this. It's self-serving, it's unloving, it's fruit, rotting, living. We want ministry. We don't want ministry. We refuse pruning, we refuse growing, and ultimately when we do this, our faith is dying. Don't touch me, God. You can't help me, you can't fix me, I'm already good enough. Really? You see, this is fruitless and it can't define us. Let me give you an example of this. So 2 years ago, as many of you know, if you're in, you know, and again, I'm not into gardening, I can't grow anything, but But you will see, like, we have this mulch bed, and I showed you some of our trees. We have this mulch bed. It has all kinds of different trees, and I showed you some of them. But on one particular day, I went out, and there was this tiny little microscopic little maple tree. It was adorable, man. It was like a quarter of an inch tall. You see them everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. I've always wondered about them. I just pull them out, throw them away. But this one was so perfectly located between two maple trees, I thought, I'm going to watch this thing grow. So we did it. We watered it. We cared about it. I even had a little dowel rod, and I tied it with string so it would grow straight. I love this little tree. I'm so proud of this little tree. Now, here's what was scary about this little tree. This is the fastest growing tree I've ever seen. This thing's like growing 3 feet a year. This thing, you talk about steroids, this thing was using. And so I'm watching this thing grow. And so Growing Grounds, that's who we use. This guy, I know the owner there, and he came out one day and said, Chad, I want to look at your trees. And so he's looking around, and I went up to him and I said, check that out. And he said, what? And I said, my tree. And he said, that tree? And I said, oh, yeah. Grew it from that tall. Watered it, staked it, tied it. And he said, Chad, you don't want that tree. And I said, I don't, because I love it. Look, it's growing. It's beautiful. He said, trust me, you don't want that tree. He said, that tree is what's called a silver maple. I was like, silver maple? Ooh, sounds even better. And he said, no. He said, trust me, you want me to pull that tree. And I said, why? And he said, you don't understand. He said, I know trees. He said, a silver maple is the worst tree you can ever have in your yard. Let me give you three reasons why. Number one, it's shallow rooted. You have it within a foot of your sidewalk. You will no longer have a sidewalk if you let this tree grow. He says, secondly, you're about 3 feet from your roof. This thing has the weakest branches ever, and those branches will be on your roof. And thirdly, it produces those little helicopter whirly birds. And he says, trust me when I say you don't want those in your yard. And I said, all right, pull it. It's like giving up a kid. And there it went. I just stood and watched him as he yanked out my silver maple tree. Why do I bring this up? Because we folks cannot be silver maple people. Now, this is what I mean by that. We cannot be shallowly rooted. We have to have strong branches. And we certainly can't produce anything that people don't want. We got to be producing something valuable. That's how we bring lost people to Jesus Christ. We cannot be silver maple people. So let me ask you, how big, how strong, how inviting, how sheltering, how nurturing, and how loving is our ministry? How many branches and how much fruit have we allowed God to grow and produce from our ministry? Are we, as believers, true ministers and servants of God? Do we truly understand what it means to actually minister and serve? I got to close with this. Two gas company servicemen were out checking meters in a suburban neighborhood one day. They parked their truck at the end of the alley and then just worked their way back to the other end. At the last house, a woman watched out her kitchen window as they checked her gas meter. When they were finished checking the meter, the older of the two servicemen challenged his younger co-worker to a race back to the truck, thinking that he was faster than the young guy. So as they came running up to the truck, they realized that a woman was huffing and puffing right behind them. They stopped and asked her what was wrong. In between breaths, she explained, "When I saw the two of you checking my meter, then take off running, I figured I better run too." Oh my goodness. Wouldn't you just love to be like a serviceman like that and just do that just one day when they're looking out? Wouldn't that be fun? Just take off running, scare the whole neighborhood. Oh, my goodness. That's why I'm not in that work. All right. But here's what we learn from this. Our service has got to be trustworthy, and our service has got to be good. Are we allowing ourselves to be distracted and running from this Christ-rooted service, or are we willing today to allow God to grow us and our ministry so that we can become as faithful and useful and fruitful servants? We folks are saved to serve, which means that we are called to love. And when we do this, we will bring others, Matthew 13:32, these searching birds, unbelievers, hurting, lost souls, we will bring them to Jesus, to that tree, to ministry, where they too can produce branches which can produce a lot of fruit. will we allow God to grow our ministry? How much fruit can we produce? How big will our branches be? How large will our tree be? And how many lives will be brought to Jesus because of our ministry? These are things we must ask ourselves this today. And again, I'm excited for the fact that I remember the days when I could look out and it would echo in this church when there was no one in here. Today I look out and I see in this church a lot of people in here. Why? Because you people understood and embraced your ministry. Let's close with our closing song, which is sung by a very, very popular Christian artist by the name of Carrie Job. I think Dan might even know her personally. There you go. Here it is. Had a situation this week. I'll share this briefly. I think it fits in. But we had a tragic call at the funeral home, and a family had called, and the husband had called me, and he was a young guy. And he said, I need to come in and make arrangements. He said, my wife is on hospice. They've given her, they think, 2 weeks. She's dying of cancer, and it's not good. And I said, okay. I said, well, we can certainly help you with that. And anyway, so we got to talking, and I shared with him that I was a pastor. And again, we just found common ground there. Found out that he is one of Bloomington Normal's strongest and most devout believers. And he said, Chad, let me tell you, she was diagnosed 13 years ago. He said, in those 13 years, they never thought she would live this long. But he said, let me tell you what she did in those 13 years. She has touched more people and told more people about what God can do through his power and through her. And he said, today I can tell you, she's comfortable knowing that she's done her work on this earth and she's ready to go to her home. Now I heard this and I thought, oh my goodness, this is perspective. And so we found out where he goes to church. Great church, know the pastor very well. And so anyway, he said, I believe that she accomplished her purpose. And I said, that's her ministry. That was her ministry. How fitting that it would apply this week as I was preparing this sermon. I don't know when we leave this earth, folks, but I know what we got to do while we're on this earth. Build our ministry and allow God to do it. Let's be rooted in Jesus. Let our roots grow deeper and deeper in Jesus so that we can produce more fruit and bring other people to Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everybody that's gathered here today. And I thank you that you have made it clear that we all have a ministry. Help us to embrace this, I pray. Let us not run from it, but rather I pray that we will accept it. And I pray that we will long to build it. Thank you for these trees that appear in this church today. And thank you for what they're doing. And I thank you for the growth that they're experiencing. And I pray today that you will just help us to consistently and every day grow closer to you. Thank you for this time of worship. And I pray today that now we go out and now we make a difference in our schools, in our communities, in our workplaces, and especially in our homes. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.